Chozer again. Back to Madonis for the matzah.
Okay, I can only tell you what he told
me.
For
sure. Okay. Yeah. Rabbi Jachter had been writing about your conversation with Chacham Ovadia in the Yeshiva's Torah publication about the plumb line. Chacham Ovadia said he didn't know the best way in terms of the sukkah, you know, Piri'i Asayin, or the plumb line. Apparently you had asked him about that. And okay, yeah. So anyway, he was impressed. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Jackie, I just wanted to thank you again for sponsoring Memory of Your Grandparents, who were murdered in Belzec, presumptive Yortzeit being the 18th of Cheshvan. Their neshamos should have an aliyah. We want to thank Rabbi Bruckheimer once again for his sponsorships as well. This morning, it's about 5 in the morning, not the professor, the other son, Yosef, asked me for a bowl of Cheerios, multigrain, as it happens. Rabbi Simon, you'll be, you know, happy to hear we stuck with the Mizonos, you know. Okay, Rabbi Simon. Oh, Jack is like, he's on the Zoom. It's okay.
Okay, thank you again, Rabbi Friedman. Precious all the chashuv people here, all the sponsors. It's always a big schus to be here. Okay. So what can I tell you? See, the thing is, there's no page numbers here. It's not so simple. So if you look on the second page from the beginning, okay. So I think it's the second page from the beginning. I mean, even though we did things past that, but right, you know, page two. It was page one. I mean, we did things past that, but where it says, very bad. See that? And then it goes to page 3. Okay. So, this is the thing. It's very important to, in Hilchas Brachos, we have a concept of Ikur V'Tofel. Ikur V'Tofel. That if you're eating something that has multi fat brachos together, you're eating, like every morning, you're eating the Cheerios and your milk, right? So you're eating two different brachas together. So how do we deal with two different brachas together? Oh, so the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Brachas that kol she'ikor v'imo tfeila mevarach al ikor poter asat tfeila. That whatever is the ikar, that's what? That gets the bracha. Provide, like the Aruch HaShulchan says, provided that you're eating it together. In other words, if you're eating two separate things, so you're having rice and peas. I don't like rice and peas, but okay, at least you're having rice and peas. Or you're having Cheerios and milk. Or cholent, for that matter. I mean, we're really supposed to only have cholent in the meal, right? But somehow the minig became, Thursday night cholent, and all these extensions of cholent. That's a question whether we should be doing that or not. Okay, but so there's potatoes and what? Beans and, right? So what do we do? And then, of course, I would be remiss to neglect speaking about sushi, even though I am not a sushi person. I'm not a sushi person. And my wife is my wife likes sushi. I don't like sushi. My wife always says, I have the old palate. You know, the old milchik restaurants that had, you know, the kashavanishkas with the potato latkes and, you know, those, that's my palate, the old palate. Yeah, not the new things. I'm not up to that. So you have to discuss what's the ikar and what's the tafel. So some things are very easy. Say, for example, you have a cracker, and then you put peanut butter, cream cheese, right? So the assumption is that one thing is enhancing the other thing. So whatever is the cracker is being enhanced by the peanut butter. So then you just make a mezonos.
The cracker is basically a vehicle for the
then that's the problem.
Right. So you're saying maybe it's just the opposite. Right.
Well, if you're having
chopped liver and a cracker. Right. And you know what? Now that you say that, I'm going to add another thing. Ready for this one? Wraps. Wraps. So wraps, what'd you say? It's bread. So you made a very interesting comment. You said it's bread. So what do you mean in that comment? What you mean in that comment is, if it's bread, bread always wins. That's what you're saying to me. Bread always wins. But is that really true? So I'll tell you not. Right? The Gemara speaks about a case. Mishnah speaks about that you had a piece of fish that was very strong. And you want to, temper the taste. So then you had some bread. So there, the bread is a tafel to that strong. So bread could be a tafel also. Now bread is the most chashuv thing we have. Bread is the most chashuv thing we have in the Hilchas Brachas thing. Bread. But there's a possibility that bread could be a tafel also. So what should we speak on first?
Whatever the
ikar is. Ah, very good. Okay.
So if it's a wrap, he still then they wouldn't wash, right?
Oh, so that's what we're going to talk about. Yeah.
What happens if we have gefen in our meal? Do we do that first and it covers all bases?
If you have wine. Oh, okay. So you went in the middle of the meal. Right. In other words, right. Normally, the halacha is that beverages are always tafel. Like you have soda, you have water, you have orange juice. All these things are, you don't get brachas in the middle of the meal. But the exception is wine. Wine is considered has a chashivas on its own right, and you make a bar piragofen even in the middle of a meal, unless you had, say, it was Friday night or Shabbat day, you had Kiddush before, and you drank from the wine at the Kiddush, so then you won't. But say you didn't drink from the wine in the Kiddush, you weren't the one who was mekadesh, or during the week you have wine in the middle of the meal. So then you'd make a Bari Perag often.
Or what if you made a shakko for Kiddush, whatever, right? And now you're being served wine in the meal.
Right, but you mean if you made a shahakol, Kiddush over liquor, right. So wine gets a bracha in the middle of the meal. In fact, there's another interesting halacha that you should know, that if, say, you're at a kiddush and you made a bari piragofen on the wine, and now you want to have soda. So there's a whole, the Gemara says that wine, just like bread, exempts all other food items. So wine exempts all shahakol drinks as well. So if you would make a bari piragofen and drink the wine, and now you're going to want to have some seltzer or some whatever at the kiddush, so there's a big question whether you could make a shahakol on that, because maybe the wine exempted. Just like bread exempts food, wine exempts liquids. So there are two things with wine. Wine has a hashivas that it gets a bari piragofen in the middle of the meal. That's one thing, where normally liquids don't. And it also has a chashivas, if what? That you, if you made drank the wine, and now you're going to have what? Soda or other things, then you wouldn't necessarily make a shahakol, because the bari piragofen of the wine, pater will call me nemashk. But there is a big discussion, how much wine do you have to drink? And is the wine of Kiddush sufficient? So it's a whole big question. Maybe only if you koveya al ayayin. You know, like some people, they get together, they're wine tasters. You know, they're koveya just to have wine. Maybe only that patters. So it's a problem when you have a Kiddush and you have the wine, whether you can make a shahakol or should you make a shahakol on the soda, the seltzer. So what's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? No, the solution in life. This is the solution in life. No.
What?
No.
Eat something else at the shop.
Herring. That's why you have to have herring. Every good kiddush must have herring. Okay? You have herring. Because if you have herring, then you definitely have to make a shahakol on the herring. Because the wine pots are shahakols that are drinks. But not what? But not fish. I mean, egg salad would do the trick, and tuna fish would do the trick, but, you know, Hamish Yid would have a herring at the, yeah.
If you upgrade your wine during the course of the meal, and you have wine A, you have wine A plus during the meal, that also requires...
Okay, that's a whole... That's the one of the most complicated halachas in Pilchus Brachas, is when you make hatova metiv and not. So, okay, but we're not going to get to that because then we won't have time to talk to anything else. Oh, so the you make the bracha on the ikar. So what's the ikar? Whatever is the main part of what you're eating. If you're eating it together with other things, so you're eating, say, raisin bran. So whatever bracha we discussed yesterday is the bran. Say it's, say if you want to see what's in the zone, or adam, whatever it is. So, the raisins is just to add a shtickle flavor. So then you'd only make one bracha. You only make one bracha on the main thing, which is the bran, presumably. But you wouldn't make. You see, the idea that people have this is that you make a bracha on every single species. Some people have that idea. That they'll make one bracha on the bran, one bracha on the raisin, one bracha on the milk.
Even on Shabbos?
Even on Shabbos? What is Shabbos? You mean even when you washed, you mean to say. Yeah. That's interesting you said it that in that formulation. Because that's the vort, that Americans, we don't wash so much the whole week. You know, if it wouldn't have been for Shabbos, we probably would never wash. You know, we're not in a... We're not a bread community so much. In all of David Feinstein supposedly said when he was a kid in Europe, so a fleishig meal meant you took a piece of bread and you had fleishig schmaltz on the bread. And a milchig meal meant you took a piece of bread and you had, you know, some butter on it. That was, you know, but the whole thing surrounded the bread. What?
Poverty.
Right. It's called poverty. Right. Right, but in America, so we eat bread because, you know, we assume the halacha is mandating us to eat the bread. But we're not such bread people. We could go through the whole week without any bread. So it's so interesting that you formulated it as Shabbos, which is really nothing to do with Shabbos. It's nothing to do with bread, but that's when we eat bread. But that's the American way we do things. Yeah.
Now, did these halachas of Iker and Tafel
only apply where there's a tarovas, or if you have two separate things, you're putting the peanut butter on the cracker, but it's not presented to you that way. You're doing it yourself. Do you need two brachos?
So when you put the peanut butter on the cracker, so one thing we assume is servicing the other thing. In other words, the cracker, the peanut butter is making the cracker more tasty.
For example, you have these, I don't know what they're called, the chobanis, where you have the separate section that has the powdered mizonos something.
I want to know.
That you
it's got like a tangy mix in. Yogurt.
It's like two different.
The yogurt. Yogurt.
The yogurt.
No, that's just something where you mix in.
You mix.
It's not already mixed.
You mix it in.
But it's not a
tarovas. You're making it a tarovas. So that's a good question. It's a discussion. But one to many, if the way the Aruch HaShulchan says, Rav Badi says, that, is that if you're eating it together, with every spoonful, you're eating some of the yogurt, and the main thing is the yogurt, so then you'd make one bracha of shahakal. Because Ikir Tafel, yeah.
Two examples. One is Jews who eat pasta with sauce think that pasta is the main part and the sauce is to make it more tasty. But Italians who eat that make the sauce and the pasta is just a vehicle with which to eat the sauce.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I guess they're not such Hamish. Yeah.
Taking each thing individually, it's not sushi. I could eat fish, and I could eat rice. But when you put it together,
okay. So we're gonna get to that. We'll get. Yeah. So let me. Oh, so yeah. Okay. So let's tackle one thing at a time. So 1 second. So let's talk about the yogurt. So you have the yogurt, and then you have the stuff that you put in the yogurt. So the halacha is. What is the ikar? So presumably the yogurt's the ikar. If you're not sure what the ikar is, then we follow up. Majority wins. So there's more yogurt than there is other foods.
Oh, the majority of the food.
Majority of the food. Now, the one case where we don't follow majority is by mizonos, meaning mizonos has a chashivas of its own right. So even if it's not the majority, but if it's chashiv, and the question of exactly what the shear is, then you just make on the mizonos. So that would be, so I'll tell you, this, my wife and I at dinner, a lot of times before we eat dinner, she serves the fish with the coating. And then we have a discussion. Is the coating thick enough that it's chashiv that we should just make a mizonos, or should we make a shahakal? If it's a thin coating, so then we'll make it the shahakal. If it's a thick coating, that it's very chashiv on its own right, then we just make a mizonos. So it depends. Fish sticks... A lot of fish sticks, the coating is schwach. But I'll tell you, you ever go to, I'm sure you all have been in a good marina schmorg. So they have those gewaldige what? Onion rings. Now you go to a pizza store, you get onion rings. The coating could be a stickle schwach. But you ever see the marina onion rings? You ever see them? So that is very, right. So it could be that you just make a mizonos on that and not a dhamma on the onions because it's chashev. When it's chashev, it's the same thing what Moshe said about cheesecake, right? Cheesecake, sometimes it's a very thin crust on the bottom and sometimes it's a chashev. So then if you're eating it together, then you'd make, one bracha. That's a simple shot to make one bracha. There are shitas that hold, chayodim, others, that if it's two things even eaten together, but they're so noticeable, as two separate things. You make two brachas. But the shita that I follow, the main shita, is to make one bracha on things that are being eaten together, and you have to decide what's that bracha.
It's not better to separate.
Right, so this idea of separating could be a shayla of bracha sheina tzricha, because you really don't want to eat them separately. And you're just separating them to make a bracha is highly questionable whether you're even allowed to do that. And see, that's a good way of saying, well, I don't know exactly what the halacha is, so I'll just make on this and this and this. But you could be you're doing something problematic.
Either at home or in a restaurant, you have a meat dish, let's say steak and French fries.
Steak and French fries. So you're eating them separately, right?
Well, they're served together.
They're served together, but as a side dish. You know, so then that's for sure two separate brachas. That's for sure. Because you're not, in other words, the idea of a tarovis is not only it's mixed together, but it's eaten together. Then that's called a tarovis. It's mixed and it's eaten together. But
so the steak comes with mushrooms on top.
Right, so the steak comes with mushrooms on top and you're eating the mushrooms together with the steak. So then that would be one bracha, presumably.
You're
saying bracha anyway. Yeah.
What's the matter if you eat the filter fish? You eat it all the time together.
Who eats horseradish separately?
Yeah, it's also
true. Right.
Except maybe for bar.
Okay, so that's the. But if the mezonos is very insignificant, or it's just there to put it together, you know, to a binding, so then the mezonos would be a tougher. But the mezonos has a chashivas that even if it's not the rov, you'd make. But mezonos means chameshes mini dogan. It doesn't mean rice, right? Even though you'd make mezonos on rice, but that's a separate halacha that mezonos, rice gets mezonos, even though it's not from the five species. And therefore it won't get that halacha of just making on mezonos.
Potato
conditions is another example. So if it's just a thin coating, so then you'd make a dama. But if it's thick or a pierogan, you know, so I would just make a mezonos. And some shittas, Chayodim, Rav David Feinstein told me he does a way to make two different, but that's not the main, even though, you know, there are shittas that if it's discernible. See, in Hilchas Issur V'Heter in Yoredeya, Tarovus only means when one of the things is not noticeable anymore. It's like if you would have wine and some other liquid in it, and now it's not noticeable as two separate things, then you'd make only one bracha. But I follow the shita that even if it's noticeable, but you're eating it together, it gets...
Like a smoothie.
Yeah, right, like a smoothie. So a smoothie, right, so that's a good question. What bracha, we'll leave that because it's going to tie into the... Now, what do you say on wraps? What do you hold by wraps? Let's talk about wraps for a second.
What's the function of the?
Why are we? Is it to get your hands clean, or is it? Tell Lou. Let's see. What does the oilam say? What? You want?
One bracha or two, and which one is two?
Right.
Yeah, but the purpose of the wrap is just to contain.
Right. In other words, is the wrap just to contain the contents, or is it?
My question is, how different is that from a salami sandwich? The purpose of the bread is to hold it together, right?
No. Is a salami sandwich different than? Yeah, well, this gentleman seems he wants to say something like that. Okay, but I want to understand how you understand a wrap. What's the point of the wrap? Why do, Well, you have a tuna wrap, you have an egg salad wrap, you have all types of wraps. So what's the... So is it pshat that it's just to hold the thing together? Or if it was just to hold together, what do you need to wrap? Why don't you just have tuna fish? Right? Yeah, so that's why most people make hamotzi. That's where David Feinstein held. Most people make hamotzi. I was told the name of Rav Abadi Shlita that he felt that the wrap doesn't taste good, it's just to hold it together. And therefore he thought Mikir Adin, he thinks that what? And therefore you wouldn't make any bracha on the wrap. It's not the mainstream opinion, but that's why I wanted to hear what you fellows. Yeah, okay, that's a different question, whether that's...
It didn't change if the only reason you're even using that bread or the wrap is because you want to bench, because you want to have a whole bunch of foods, and you want to make it a chiyuv to bench. But otherwise, it's not a nikur, it's not a tuffel. Your only purpose really is to eat just so you can bench.
I don't know, is that why people have wraps? No, people have wraps because they have a wrap. That's how they serve it.
I'm saying in general, it's not specific to the wrap necessarily.
You should know that there's a discussion in the poskim. If you eat something, eat bread, just to pater, that it's a question of whether it really paters, because it's really not an ikar. So you're getting yourself into hot water when you're doing, if you're going to do that.
More than one slice of pizza.
Yeah, so pizza is the discussion we had yesterday about the snack foods versus the meal foods.
It's your meal. You need two slices of pizza.
It's your meal. Right, so that's the Pasa Baba Kistin discussion that we had yesterday. So if you look here on page where Chelik Bay starts, don't tell you the page. It's number 8. Chelik Bay is number 8. So it discusses the concept of rov. Let's look even number 14, Meperos. So what's the deal of Meperos? Meperos means you squeeze an orange. So the Gemara says that's called what? Zeya ba'almahu. In other words, by a grape. So the juice is called wine. That's this Birkas Haman number 13. The Amar Rava Sochit Odom Eshkol Shalanovim for Omer Alav Kiddush Hayom. In other words, you could squeeze a grape, you get the juice, and you make kiddush. And obviously, you squeeze it before Shabbos. You can't squeeze it on Shabbos, that would be a melacha d'oraisa.
But it isn't even wine at that point.
It's even wine at that point, right. It's grape juice. So you see here that you can make kiddush on grape juice. Right? That's a Beferish Gemara. But on the other hand, I'll tell you that some poskim think not. It's against the Gemara. Questions like this, because normally when you squeeze the grape, it can still ferment and become wine. But the question is, if we do something to it, we pasteurize it or something like that, that it's not going to ferment. So that's the first tshuva in the Knesset HaGadolah that says if you put something in to stop the fermentation ability, so then what?
It remains juice.
And then it's not yain, and then you can't make. So the big question, you know what the big question is? Well, before that, is grape juice today's grape juice? Is it bari piagafen, or is it bari piachakol? And there's a big difference whether you can make kiddush, especially at Friday night. Because maybe it's not a yayin. This Gemara is So can Adam Eshkol Shalanovim, Vomer Lov Kiddush Hayom. I have a friend in Williamsburg, in Satmar. So he, you know, we know that there are people on Pesach that don't eat out. There's one bar. And there's some people don't eat any produced item. They make everything in their own home. So this fellow, Rav Gutman, Big Talmud Chacham, he makes everything at home, including the wine. Including the wine. So, that, you know what they call it? Must. It's like a grape juice. They don't put anything in. He does it, I think, in his bathtub or something like that. Kosher Pesach. I think that's what he told me, if I'm not mistaken. But he does it himself. And it's... So there, that's this Gemara of Socher Adam Eshkol Shalanovim. Because nothing is tampered with. But today it's tampered with. So some poskim say it could still become, I don't know, who are the scientists here in the crowd? Will it really ferment grape juice if you leave it? I don't know. I have my doubts about that. So that's why I try very hard not to make kiddush on grape juice. In fact, we went away for Shabbos. Every once in a while, we visit different camps in the summer for Shabbos, and we went started college last Shabbos. We went away, so I discovered this new thing to do. This is the best discovery ever, and that is the Moscato cans. Moscato cans. I learned this lesson because it was the last Shabbos before the world turned over with COVID. Last Shabbos, we were going as a regular family to go for a bar mitzvah. Shabbos before everything was usher in the world and couldn't go anywhere and for chule. So we went. So I always like to have to echa kamoch. I give gifts to people that I like to receive myself. So I don't like the fancy schmancy wines because the fancy schmancy wine I don't enjoy. It stays in the closet. But the Bartonura blue Moscato. That's what we drink. So that's why I give to what I give to other people. So it was right before we were going to leave. I had one of these bottles of Moscato, and I put it in the thing with my clothing, and I put it on the floor, and I heard something, and the whole thing broke, and there was wine all over my, you know. So it's good that it happened when we were still at home as opposed to happening when we got to the place. So now I'm careful. If I give somebody a present, I put it in a separate thing. I'm much more careful. But I'm not giving it as a present. I just need to travel wine. So this the Moscato is the best because it's cans. The canned Moscato. Can you open the can in the shop? So that's a big question. So I happen to follow the sheet that you can. But you're right. If you hold, you can't. Then it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. But I follow the sheet that you can. Because it's disposable and you can throw it away and it's not a problem. What?
And it doesn't break in your luggage.
Exactly. So that's why when we were going, there was why you had a Shabbaton. So I did two things that I brought in the Shabbaton in the mountains. I brought my own becher because I don't like to use disposable bechers because that's a whole discussion. And I brought, and I know because the camps usually have rules that you can't have any alcoholic things in the camp. So I bring my own wine, you know, but it's not for a present, it's just to bring along. So then that's the best thing. The cans and the Scotto cans are the best. Again, you have to assume you can open it. Not everyone does. I realize that, but I follow the sheet that you can, so therefore that's what I do. I travel with my Moscato, my canned Moscato, and I so the thing, they have four. So this past Shabbos, I used one for Friday night, one for Kiddush after davening, then I make another Kiddush at lunch, and one for Havdalah. So I had four Moscato things in a pack, so it worked out well. But that's this thing that because I'm choishish that maybe it's not it's not really yayin. Even though I mentioned it here or a different shir that Rabbi Chalap always used to say. I said it, or maybe it was a different place. What?
Did
I didn't say it, so I'm going to say it now. Rabbi Chalap likes to say something that he says, he remembers when the day that the big divide between Orthodoxy and other branches of Judaism is whether you make Kiddush on grape juice or not. That was like a big divide. Today, all the Hasidim are making Kiddush on grape juice, and but it shows how the world changed. You know, that was like a big, you know, no Orthodox Jew in that kufa would make Kiddush on grape juice. But now, today, it's, you know.
But this Gemara seems to say even when it is fermentable, it is only for Friday night. It's only for during the day, not for Friday night.
Which Gemara?
The Okay. Even if it's fermentable.
Kiddush Hayom doesn't mean in the Yom. Yeah. Yeah, Kiddush Hayom means Kiddush. It's just a way of saying Kiddush. It's the Shabbos, exactly. It's the day of Shabbos.
No, it means Shabbos, doesn't mean the day of Shabbos.
Yeah, right, it means Shabbos, not the daytime, right, exactly. Right, so that's... But there is an interesting discussion in the Poskim about when is something Zeya Ba'alma and when is it not Zeya Ba'alma. So there's a famous Rashba that says Zeya Ba'alma is if you have oranges and then you squeeze the oranges, you have juice, so then it's Zeya Ba'alma. It's just a shahakom. But if you planted the oranges to be juice oranges, then the bracha is Bari Pri Ha'etz.
Yeah,
so it's not the Minhag Olam, but and I'm currently on a sugar-free diet, so that was one of the first things I had to eliminate from my because I was a big Drapa Canna drinker every morning. That was, you know, but then I had to go on a sugar-free diet, so then one of the first things I eliminated from my diet is Tropicana for breakfast. But right, so according to some shitas, again, the Minhag Olam is not this way, so I'm not, but Iker, you know, according to maybe the Chazon Ish and the Rashba, it could be that you do make a Bari Pri Ha'etz on oranges because they're planted. So then it's not Zeya Ba'alma, because then the Iker Pri is what it's planted for. You see, what's the idea of Zeya Ba'alma? It's because the Cheftza is really what? An orange. Now you're diminishing it by squeezing it, but that's the, yeah.
So is the issue whether you planted it yourself or whether the orchard planted it that way? In other words, is it
I don't plant anything in the orchard.
That's the way you phrased it. I wasn't sure if you meant it.
Yeah, in other words, I'm not planning to plant oranges. That's my thing.
I mean, if I did it in my backyard versus buying commercial product, is it because the commercial farmers...
The commercial farmers that are producing the Tropicana or whatever are planting the oranges, Adaita Damashka.
Do we know? Because some of those orchards, some of those farmers grow oranges, and the nice ones are sold as oranges, and the lesser nice ones. Like Sunkist, you see Sunkist oranges.
No, but the ones that I'm sure I'm not a big.
They sent juice oranges, specific varieties to make it in the Tropicana, not the roots. It's not that they pick the good ones and the bad ones.
Right, they make the juice oranges, right? So the juice oranges, it's very well, according to some shitas, that it should be Bari Pri Ha'etz.
Presumably the same thing is true of apples and other fruit juices.
If you would have apple, what do they do with apple juice? That I don't know. But the oranges is the
The fact that it's totally changed in its form.
Right. So again, the concept of change in the form is if it's planted to be an orange, and now you squeeze it, you change the form. But if you planted it for the juice, then that's the form. That's the point. It's not a change of the form, because that the thing that you planted it for is the form. And then that's the nakud of the Rashi.
Can I go back to wine is carbon tovda. Is that purely subjective in that person? For example, if you're eating stuffed cabbage, the adults at this table, the adults at the table, it's cabbage that they want, and it have to be stuffed. And the kids are picking away the cabbage and just eating.
The kids don't like the cabbage. They want the meat, but
No. Not people who grew up in Europe who was cabbage a staple for them. I can assure you that. But there may be some who are more interested in the cabbage than the stuffing.
Right.
But it's the same table, so one person is making a bracha, one bracha on this.
Perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps.
That's my question. Is that
okay? Well, so that's going back to the question of sushi.
Yeah.
Why do people have the sushi? They have it for the rice, for the fish? What are they having it for? What's the ikker?
That's where you live.
Teaneck, I don't know where.
I'm saying you're in Asia. I was told that there's a difference.
What about a regular, I'm an American Jew. Let's talk about America. Why are the Americans eating sushi? I tell you, I don't eat sushi, so it's not. But the people, it became such a popular thing, right? You have a sushi section at the Shmorg already. So why are we eating? Why are these people eating it? For the fish. If they're eating it for the fish, that's the real reason, that it really should be a shahakal. If it's not sure, then you follow the rules.
But there's sushi without fish also.
Yeah. So then why are the people eating?
Because they're eating sushi.
Because they're eating a new form.
Of?
What? The chashivas of sushi.
Of what? What part of it?
It's a different form of eating.
The chavaya of sushi. But it's not the fish, it's not the rice, it's what is it?
The whole thing.
So if you're not sure which is there, then you follow the rope. What is the in that is it the whatever the majority is, if you because you're eating it together, you follow the majority. Just today, one of my Talmidim this morning, I mentioned in Shir that my old Talmidim always knew that they would go to Eretz Yisrael, that I liked a certain type of nut, and guys would bring it back. It was Bodnim Amerikaim, exactly. Bodnim Amerikaim. And for years he couldn't get it. So today, one of my Talmidim, just this morning, he said, Rebbe, I have something for you. And he took out from his bag a bingo nuts. But there was Bodnim Amerikaim. So what bracha do you make on Bodnim Amerikaim? In other words, it's a nut with a casing. With a casing of dough. So l'chora, the simple pshat is to make what? Mazonos. Because I once brought it to Lakewood to Rav Abadi to see. So his sheet, the Lishitoso, when things are like what I said, the cold cereal and everything, when it's like a nut type of thing, you know, even though it's dough, but it's not. So he thought it's all Adama. Even the casing is Adama. Because his thing is that when you have like Wheaties, so it's like a klayot. It's like, you know, like nuts, roasted nuts type of thing. So that's the tzura. But most people would just make a mazonos. But Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva about what? Raisinets. The famous tshuva of Rav Moshe with raisinets. So what does Rav Moshe say about raisinets? Two brachas. Yeah. So many people are not happy with that tshuva of Rav Moshe. Because if you see Rav Moshe Shita, this is what based Rav David, that you could separate, he's into separating and making two different brachas on things, even though you're eating them together. So like Rav David told me with a Kanish, you can to make two brachas. But I follow the Shita that you make one bracha and either on what you want or the rove for eating it together. Not like that shita to make.
They're not separate.
Right. So, but the other thing that. So, Pasha says if you hold like the shita, that you make two separate brachas, so then Rav Moshe said to make the two separate brachas. But then there's another thing that another issue with the raisinets is that according to this is not the minhag olam, but what? What's the simple pshat? What bracha should you make on chocolate? What bracha should you make on chocolate? What bracha? Ha'etz. Yeah, you should make ha'etz on chocolate.
Wouldn't it be Adam?
Isn't it a bush? No, it's a tree. Cocoa tree, yeah. That's the fruit, that's the pre. So then, even if you hold it, you make the two separate things, but here it's the same bracha. It's the raisin and the... So Ramosha didn't... So Ramosha assumed not like that on two counts. He assumed like the minhag olam shachol is to make shachol on the ring, and he assumed that...
You more plant than a tree.
What?
It becomes more plant than a tree. Is that changing bracha?
Yeah, but I don't know. You check in your Wikipedia here or whatever.
Is it plant a tree?
What?
Is it
Adama?
Oh, right.
Yeah, plant. But you check. I think it's normally assumed to be. The whole discussion of the chocolate was that it should be an ha'etz. Okay. So that's the May Paris discussion and the Yayin discussion, and the grape juice discussion and the sushi discussion. No, what else? Any other questions that anyone wants to raise? What?
Mazonas rolls.
Right. So Mazonas rolls is a question whether, if you put fruit juice in the thing, whether that... See, that was the question from yesterday. We changed the physical thing, but it's still as a meal food. So that's the what was the discussion from yesterday. Does that... In other words, the Sfarim held as long as you change the physical thing, that could change the bracha. And the Ashkenazic psak was, but it only if it also changes the usage of the food. Now it's snack food versus meal food, and that's the whole discussion that Rabbi Willen pointed out about pizza. And then it's all connected to the same topic of: is it sufficient just to have a physical difference, or does the physical difference have to manifest itself and now changing the whole type of way you're eating it as a meal or as a as a snack. But, but Hilchos Brachos is something that, what they say, that they used to, that was the classical way you went on a date. The future father-in-law would give the fruit cup to the, right? I once went out with a girl with her father's, his job was a bochen in yeshiva. That was his, So you went on the date, you didn't see the girl, and then he asked a question in learning, and then you started back and forth in learning, and then 3/4 into the discussion, then she appears on the, and then, so I guess if you were doing well, then he would let you go out with, no, but the fruit cup was the classic, so that was also the fruit cup is the, what?
The dessert of
Tamid HaChacham, right. Dessert. That's a good question. So what do you do for dessert? So like this. When you have snack type foods like apples or strawberries, so the simple pshat is that you'd make a bracha on these things for dessert. Right? And all the ice cream, you make a bracha, shahakol, for dessert. Cake is the big discussion. Because cake could be pasa baba kisten, and therefore maybe was covered with hamotzi. Right? So the mahalach used with cake, like Rav Shechter's over this mahalach, Rav Badi holds this mahalach, the shalah said like this, is why are you eating the cake? If you basically, you're not full, the meal didn't do it for you, and you needed the cake to finish off the fullness of the meal, then it's included, and you don't want to make a bracha. That's Erev Shechta, Erev Badi, Erev Shalah, that Shechta. But if it's basically full, you just like the sweetness of the thing, then you'd make a mezonos for dessert on the cake or the cookies. So that's the mahalak that I use on that.
Applesauce?
Applesauce. Nope. So some hold that the applesauce is too thin, so you make a shakal. Others hold that it's still eight. So that's a discussion. But applesauce would get a bracha. Applesauce would get a bracha because it's not a pseudodicker type food. It's like Rav Badman writes in the Sefer, etc. So that would. You wouldn't make an ala mechia. That'll be concluded in the benching. Right? You wouldn't make an ala mechia, but.
Can you make a bracha with in mind everything? You're eating breakfast in the morning, and it's all going to be dairy, a lot of dairy stuff. But you don't know exactly what, yogurt, cheeses, whatever. So can you say that making a shahakal for everything that I take out in the next 20 minutes, whether I know what it is, as long as it's shahakal, is it going to be covered with that bracha?
Yeah, in other words, if you have in mind, you're going to eat different types of things, and yeah.
But you don't have to know what it is.
You don't have to know the specific thing. Yeah, but then you would, yeah. Okay, I thank Rabbi Friedman again for Rabbi Feldman, Rabbi Steckler, and it's always a schus to be here, and we should see each other at the, when we meet up at a shmorg, you can remind me of the shiur.
Based on this article that apparently you can make wine out of grape juice.
Yeah.
But I looked it up. According to the Star K, they say the consensus on chocolate is shahakal.
Yeah, the consensus definitely is shahakal.
Oh. So it's not,
that's
it's
what
not,
that's what
a,
the